Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, the priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, the New Year's Eve edition. Well, we're close to it anyway, the end of the year edition. How about that, of The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, and we call that polished look Armadoxy. We're invited to kick back right now and take this end of the year look with us. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take The Next Step. Yes, yes, I know. I figured it out already. Yes, taking a next step with retrospection is like taking a back step. Okay. Yeah, I know. You can tell Ken's in the studio today. I'm so glad he is here. He is finishing out a small little stay here in California, going back before the new year. Just glad that he's with us. Of course, we have Susie with us. And most importantly, you're with us. Well, at least I think you are, right? This is like the weird thing about podcasting. But the neat thing about podcasting, unlike radio, it's like you can turn it on anytime you want. So whatever the day may be that you're listening to us, I'm just glad you're with us. And if it is at the end of the year, you'll kind of enjoy some of the time-dated stuff that we're talking about today. And if it's not, well, welcome back. I'm saying all this because in preparation for today's show, I was looking through some of the notes, the liner notes from the last year that we did, the last 51 episodes. And, you know, there's a lot of meaty stuff. And I'm looking forward, actually, next Monday, I think the 7th, we're going to be at Blog World Expo in Las Vegas. And that's where all the podcasters get together. That's where all the bloggers get together. And we've gone for a couple years. Susie, Anush, and I, it's been a small little team. We go out and represent Epostle and talk with a lot of the people in the industry talking about, well, there's, you know what, I got to tell you, when it first started out, it was a little bit more nerdy. I went to one before I took the ladies with me. It was out in a place called, I believe it was near Pomona. I want to say Irwindale, somewhere around there. Anyway, that was my first experience in Blog World. And it was a very small little gathering at that point. I think maybe about 50 to 70 vendors. And it was very nerdy at that time, you know, teaching you about like how to get the computer and the microphone oscillating at the right at the right frequency so you could get a good sound. Last year when we went, of course, there was a lot of new products. And one product in particular that I have been, you believe it or not, it's been a year that I've been waiting to get back to the show, particularly for this one product, which is a transcriber. There was a guy that we met at last year's Blog World, and if you've gone to any one of those shows, I know in different fields there's different shows, but you know, they give out the freebies, the pens, and definitely the little business cards that you can get, and when you get back home you can hook up with them. And of course, these days you just kind of scan the QR code and you've got it. Well, believe it or not, we met this guy. He didn't have any cards left. It was toward the end of the show. And he told us about a fantastic product which would actually take the podcasts, run it through this software, and transcribe the entire show. Yeah. Yeah, talk about the product that we need here on the Next Step. I mean, between our Next Step, especially sometimes with Compass, when Compass comes out, you know, it's like this free flow of ideas that that we exchange with Linda. And there's a lot of good meaty stuff in there, too. And you're saying, okay, we got to get this down on paper. We've got to get this down in writing, you know, put it up. Because there is something to be said about the written word, right? I think we all agree about that. No matter how much we do these podcasts, how much YouTube has expanded our imagination and our ability to communicate, really, with visuals and with sound, but really it's communicate with art. And I really think that some of the greatest ones on YouTube, it's actually a very free-flowing exchange of ideas. And, you know, there's YouTube videos that'll get maybe about 10 hits, and there's ones that'll get 10 million hits. And sort of like weeds out everything. Yeah, there's a lot of junk on YouTube, but there's also a lot of good stuff on there, too. And you have this ability where the market, it's really a very capitalistic venture, if you think about it, in the sense that it's the market that decides what message is worth listening to. What message really makes it? And you know that there's certain clips that go viral. But still, you know that there's a place for the written word. And eventually, it is those written volumes that get placed into libraries. And it's maybe a way, we're really right in the middle of this shift, of this giant shift in information, where volumes, yes, they are stored in written format. And I'm not just talking about the physical libraries where there's volumes of books, but of course the written format, and even in the case of a PDF file, okay, you exchange a PDF file or a Word file, let's say, okay, there's something different about it, because it means that the author has sat down and taken the time to digest, to really work out the structure of a sentence, to be able to articulate an idea, a concept. And many times when we do this podcast, The Next Step, or where we do Compass, of course, there's a lot of free flow in it. There's a lot of free flow. We're able to talk, much like a radio show, much like a live TV show that you watch. You know, it kind of goes with the flow, and at the moment, things may happen. A caller may call in. You may get something pop up on your screen and you react to that. Whereas a written document, you have this idea of processing the information. And so certainly these blogs, and I know we have a listener, Janine, she does a beautiful, beautiful blog. I haven't referenced that in a long time. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. But when you look at her blog, you understand, you know, there's some time that is spent in contemplation, some time to analyze, some time to develop some ideas. Whereas free-flowing ideas are quite different, you know, and certainly a blog or a written word, there is some free flow. But in the sense of a podcast, you know, like we got the mic running. And I got to tell you that to me, it's been a challenge doing the Next Step, in the sense that there's a spooky feature to it. I think I've shared this with you in the case of my sermons. Before my sermons, I will always say this small little psalm. It is, Lord, if you open my lips, I shall sing your praise. And it is the psalm that the Armenian Church begins its daily prayers with. When you go to the Book of Hours, the night hour, or basically early morning before the sun rises, begins with the recitation of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And immediately afterwards, the priest asks God for this very special blessing. Lord, if you open my lips, if you open my lips, I will sing your praise. That's wild, huh? And every week, just before my sermon, it is the one little prayer that I say, that no matter what we do as humans, as people, I'm looking for that divine combination with the human. And, you know, it's the divine combination with the human that we're celebrating right now at Theophany, because that's exactly what it is. It's God becoming man so that man can become God. You know, in other words, man can find his salvation. And it's wild when you think about it, how it all meshes together. And so in many ways, when we do these podcasts, whether we do a broadcast, video, whatever it is, there's like a free flow. And it would be great to go back to some of this stuff and pick up. And I've shared this with you, and I know you know what I'm talking about too. There are like little gems that come out, and I will like look. Sometimes Ken's across from me, sometimes Susie's across from me, sometimes I've got the people in the church, and I'm looking across from them, and I just go, where did that come from? Where did that come from? You're not even thinking about in those terms. But it is a gem. And this was many years ago when I said, okay, hold it. There's something going on over here. And we need to start recording this stuff. Because, you know, and I don't want to, it is spooky. I'm going to use the word spooky because I don't want to make it anything bigger. It's not my place to say, you know, who's talking or whatever, but there is something to be said that, you know, when you're asking for God's guidance, Lord, if you open my lips, I shall sing your praise. Well, then you've got to take it seriously too, because what we're doing is for the praise of God. I mean, all of it is for the praise of God. And then you say, well, okay, well, what is that supposed to mean? You know, praise of God. And I always want to qualify this, because I think people have this misunderstanding that somehow church, worship, it's the idea of coming down on your feet and off of your feet and getting down on your knees and worshiping God. You know why? Because God is sitting up there and he's looking down at you. And if you don't do it, you know, he gets down and he throws a thunderbolt at you. Ooh, I hate that when that happens, don't you? Yeah, don't you hate it when you get smacked on the head by a thunderbolt? Or a lightning bolt, right? The thunderbolt is the noise. Okay. It hurts either way. But we got to get out of this idea that somehow we're pleasing God because he needs it. No. The idea of pleasing God is for us to understand that we need it. We need to please God. Because when we do, what happens? We lose ourself. We lose ourself, and we realize that there is something more important to serve. Christmas Day, December 25th, okay? I did something I've never done in my life. As a family, there's five of us in our family, we went and we saw a movie. Never done that. Always gone to family affairs, family. This year, things didn't work out. There was a lot of commotion. And as you know, our Christmas is very built up with a lot of outreach programs, including the toy drive, including the scarves and blankets for the cancer patients, including the children's memorial, including the food drives. And it was just at a point where it was physically exhausting. And, you know, as you get older, yeah, you don't need a cane, but you do need to relax a little bit. So on Christmas Day, we went and saw a movie, but it was a very special movie. And that's why I think it was very important that we did see it on Christmas. It was the new version of Les Miserables. Okay, here's the warning, okay? If you're going to go see it, take a box of Kleenex with you, okay? Take a handkerchief. Oh, man, was that just an incredible film. Now, of course, the story itself, my favorite, since I first was introduced to it in my early teens, my dad had asked, he kind of literally forced me to sit through a Frederick March version of it, 1935 version of it. And I was so intrigued by the story, this man, Jean Valjean. And of course, there's an intrigue also because of the name, Jean Valjean. It is Very romantic, isn't it? Who steals this loaf of bread and is hounded the rest of his life. And the only thing that he responds with is with pure love. Even when he is tempted to do evil, he responds with pure love. And so here we're seeing the 2012 version of it. And yes, we did see it in 2012 on the 25th, which means we did survive the cataclysmic end of the Mayan calendar. And we sat and we watched it. Oh, it was so good. And at the end, in this version, just beautiful, beautiful words. Let me see if can you pull that up? Yeah, we have an older version of it. The words are just so beautiful.
And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God.
Really, so powerful, so powerful. To love another person is to see the face of God. I mean, you know, this is what it comes down to, the bottom line. Well, those of you who have been following Next Step know that that's nothing new. But if you're not following us regularly, know that that's the cornerstone of what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about. In fact, when we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, it goes down to the essence of what Jesus Christ was all about, and that was for us to be able to love one another. It's not more complicated than that, you know, and you could wear all kinds of different hats, and you can go to Burger King and even get a crown if you want, you know, but it's not going to change anything from what God wants us to do. And God's basic commandment is forget yourself and realize that you're part of a collective. You're part of a community. Lose thyself. And, you know, all major traditions do this. You know, when you think about what does Buddhism teach? Okay, I'm using Buddhism as an example because it is on the other side of the spectrum, right? There is no central God figure. It is basically a philosophy. And it comes down to losing yourself, you know, a selfless life. Well, what was Jesus's commandment, right? If anyone is to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Well, what is that cross? It's losing yourself. It's sacrifice. It's giving of yourself. It's giving for the sake of love. And certainly Les Miserables, Victor Hugo just does something that goes beyond generations. I was thinking about that too. You know, it is an eternal story in that it spoke to me as a kid. It speaks to my children as youth. It speaks to generations. And there's different ways that it has evolved. The franchise, as we call it today, the Les Miserables franchise has evolved in different ways, but it's still the basic story. And Victor Hugo finds a very unique space in the continuum of people who have been able to document this. And so we get back to what we were talking about, okay? Writing. And when you look at, let me go one more step. I missed one more step. And that was when I got back to the office the day after Christmas. And of course, still moved by seeing the movie the night before, I went and I found my grandmother's Les Miserables written in Armenian. Huge, huge, huge volume. And I've kept that because it's very sentimental and it's like huge. I'd say a good 1,000 pages in Armenian, translated in Armenian in 1922 from Victor Hugo's writing from French to Armenian. And I opened it up and I'm reading like the first few pages and it's like this huge, giant, it's like bigger than the phone book. I mean, thickness is bigger than the phone book. And then you look at it and it says volume 2. And then I realized, yes, that's right. This was Fantine and Cosette, and there was like a volume 1, wasn't there? And so, you know, massive amount of writing. And so we get back to what I was saying, you know, like at some point, as much as we do these podcasts, as much as you do broadcasting, you want to make artistic expressions of your message. It still comes down to the written word and whether that written word is in the form of a book or, it exists in cyberspace, it's on somebody's hard drive. Still, it means that you have assembled thoughts, you have put together words. And certainly poetry has its place, certainly prose has its place within that framework of the written word. Going back even further then, that's why I'm anxious to get back to Blog World. We're going on January 7th, and one of the dealers that I'm going to first try to find is this guy who is able to take these podcasts and really transcribe them. And so hopefully within the next few months, we will have the opportunity to really sift through the podcasts, whether it's The Next Step or The Compass, and really find those gems that when we ask God, open my mouth and I will sing your praise. And he answers with some very beautiful praises. Let's find those praises, put them together, and have some kind of document that we can reflect with. Okay, that being said, we are going to reflect right now. So as you noticed at the beginning of today's show, we kicked it off with another one of Tull's favorite Christmas album songs. And I am not giving up on Christmas music. I still love it. I don't care. You know, it's like a switch, isn't it? Like December 25th at midnight, all the radios stop playing Christmas carols. Like who gave them the right to do that? No. I've been listening to Christmas carols ever since. And so yesterday I was listening to this Kenny Loggins album, and all of a sudden, what do I find? I find Auld Lang Syne. We got to find what Auld Lang Syne. I'll do that while we're listening to it. I want you to listen to this because it's so beautiful. In the reflection part, what he does is he's put down some audio clips that are very historic. Many you will probably be able to identify as, you know, quite a bit of them, and maybe that's a challenge too. Figure out how many of the audio clips within this piece of music that you can that you can identify. How many of them were you alive for? And the more you've been alive for, the older you are. That's it. Let me tell you, I can identify quite a bit from the time that the dinosaurs were roaming. Anyway, here is Kenny G. Did I say Loggins before? I'm sorry. It's Kenny G. Kenny G, Auld Lang Syne. This is called the Freedom Mix. Song of the day, end of the month, end of the year. Enjoy.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Gentlemen, the smoke and the flames now cover the humanity.
The city is Martians approach.
This country is at war.
December 7th, 1941.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor.
A date which will live in infamy.
This is Bob, Command Performance Hope, telling each Nazi that's in Russia today that Crimea doesn't
pay. The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
And Jackie Robinson comes to bat for the first time in a major league
Are you
game.
A member of the Communist Party?
Oh, a cop, eh?
Or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
Baby, you're the greatest.
Mars was sun recording artist Elvis Presley.
The star of our show, Dick Clark.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Godspeed, John Glenn.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
President Kennedy died.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
And I say segregation now.
What we have foremost in common is their enemy.
Segregation tomorrow.
The white man.
And segregation forever.
He's an enemy to all of us.
I have a dream today.
The Beatles.
I today ordered to vote, ma'am, the Air Mobile Division.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He said many times, many parts of this nation. Some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
3 days of rock and roll in Woodstock, New York have taken their toll on the New York thruway.
And bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon
Absolute
tomorrow.
Absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
John Lennon was dead on arrival.
I die on a cross.
take the Philip Charles Arthur George
to my wedded house.
Learn over a disease striking primarily in the gay community called acquired immune deficiency.
Roger, Challenger.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye, and slipped the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I was moved, as you all were, by the pictures of Berliners from east and west standing atop the wall with chisels and hammers.
The skies over Baghdad have been illuminated.
Away from the front of this building that has been ripped off by this powerful bomb in Oklahoma City.
Find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Hey, Bert, I brought home a surprise, Bert.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and I'm gay.
Yeah, baby!
Welcome. You've got mail.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
The young killers of Columbine High School do not stand for the spirit of America.
A small plane piloted by John F. Kennedy Jr. carrying his wife and another.
A matter of seconds before the new millennium on the east coast of the United States.
Analysts are now saying that Al Gore has won the election.
Is that your final answer?
We have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Come on, guys. No choice.
Evacuating that wing of the Pentagon.
The plane has crashed about 80 miles south of Pittsburgh.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended.
We have met the worst of humanity with the best of humanity.
With anthrax mail to Tom Brokaw, the New York Post.
We're not going to be stopped. We're not going to be deterred. We're not going to stay at home. We're not going to be frightened. We're going to live our lives as Americans.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Auld Lang Syne, and that is Kenny G's mix of it. It's called the Freedom Mix. Did you listen to all those different clips in there? Quite impressive, huh? How much we've gone through, how much things have changed. You know, you listen to it and you hear the clips from the 60s, Martin Luther King asking for freedom, the dream. Then you go to the President Nixon resignation. You realize, what did we live through? Some of the scandals, the Challenger. And then all of a sudden you hear the little voice from AOL, You've Got Mail. Remember how when that came out? Wow, we got mail. You don't have to wait for somebody to deliver it into your home. It just comes right up on your screen. You've got mail. And of course, with the 9/11 disaster, all these things, you know, life is going by quite quickly. And end of the year gives us this opportunity to reflect. Okay, I did promise you Auld Lang Syne. Let's look it up. I looked it up. Here it is from Wikipedia. Where else are we going to go to, okay? Is a Scots poem written by Robert Burns in 1788 and set to the tune of traditional folk song. It is well known in many countries, especially in the English-speaking world, its traditional use being to celebrate the start of New Year at the stroke of midnight. By extension, it is also sung at funerals, graduations, and as farewell or ending to other occasions. The song's Scots title may be translated into English literally as Old Long Since, or more idiomatically, Long Long Ago, Days Gone By, or Old Times. Consequently, for Auld Lang Syne, as it appears in the first line of the chorus, might be loosely translated for the sake of old times. That's very nice, huh? For the sake of old times. And that's what we're about today, because we are standing at the, you know, at that little point in life. You know, you're living in a continuum, right? And then there's just that little point. It's December 31st, January 1st, and, you know, the big number is going to change now. Now it's going to change to the year is going to change. We got 365 days of the year 2013 in front of us, you know? And it gives you a chance to look at the 366 days that existed in 2012, all the things that took place during that year. And it's a great little experiment and exercise that people do during the New Year's, and it's fun. in reality, I don't know how effective it is, except that unless you take it seriously and you look at what your past was about, process that, and then use it to improve the life that's in front of you. And the only person that can do that, and you know that, I know that, is we ourselves, right? It's nobody else from there. There's no outside forces that are coming in and saying, okay, let's work it out. We know that you've had some bad times in the past, so let's fix it up in the future. No. We are in charge of our own destiny, and we do have our lives in front of us, and God sets us on this course to go forward, right? You can look at the past. You can look at what's happened in the past. Take that, process that out, and say that, okay, these are the areas, these are the places where I'm going to improve. And certainly, New Year's gives us that opportunity to. Now, last week I told you I wanted to reflect a little bit about what we've done as a community, as the Apostle community. And when I went to look back on some of the topics that we discussed, do you know that last year when we started off the year, we were talking about the El Gordo. Do you remember that? We're talking about the Einsteinian equations. And, you know, you go throughout the year and you remember so many of the different things that took place during the year. And, you know, some of those things are universal. Some of them, for us, studying ancient faith and applying it for today, are things that were really remarkable. And one of them, for instance, you know, just the other day we were listening to President Obama talk about homosexuality and how he views homosexuality, and he says that, you know, there is no reason for us to be discriminating based on sexual preferences. And you could see that that's a clear change for him from 2008, when he was talking about marriage between a man and a woman, and now he's talking about marriage between between same-sex partners. And you see that down the line, that that's really on the horizon. It's coming up. And then you look at it within your own understanding of what marriage is all about. And I've made this comment too. You know, the idea of that marriage is between a man and a woman is just basically a definition. There's really nothing moral ascribed to that, and you shouldn't. It's just a definition. Marriage means man and a woman come together and they make a family, and it's basically to protect the rights of the child. And, you know, it was last March that we discussed that here on The Next Step in the Armenian Orthodox fashion, because we had a high-ranking clergyman of the Armenian Church make a very profound, profound statement that in many ways went unnoticed within obviously within the bigger world, but even within the Armenian world. But I was very proud that it came out during The Next Step. Actually, it came out during a Compass broadcast where Linda Zadoyan, who does Compass, was interviewing Archbishop Vache Hovsepian. You know, this is the senior most clergyman in the Armenian Church. Top, okay? And during that interview, they were talking about homosexuality, and that's Archbishop Vache, he just says, it is a sin. And he takes a breath, and if you're listening to that interview, and I invite you to listen to it, it's a fantastic interview. It's on our website, archived. He goes, it's a sin, and you're ready for him to make the usual assertion that you expect from the church. And then you listen, and right after he says it's a sin, he says, it's a sin for the church to reject anyone. You're ready for him to say it's a sin, or, you know, homosexuality is a sin. No, the sin is on the church if it rejects anyone. Because Jesus didn't reject anyone. Anyone who came to Jesus was accepted with open arms. And if Christ doesn't make that judgment, who are we to make that judgment? Now, again, you can talk about definitions, you can talk about wordings and everything, but you cannot talk about the people. And one of the things that has come out and out of these podcasts, I think, is this idea of armadoxy. I mean, when we began the podcasting, again, now I'm looking beyond the last year, I'm looking at the last 5 years. When we began, we never expected that it would evolve into this concept of armadoxy. But what would the church be without all of the trappings, but understanding really the bare essence of faith that was brought into Armenia by the apostles in the first century, by St. Gregory the Illuminator in the fourth century. What happened before all the culture and all the things that were forced upon it, slapped onto it, that developed like barnacles on it, that kind of like took away from the beauty of the church, and it became something else. You know, that's what barnacles do. They like they latch on all of a sudden. And you know what barnacles are, right? Yeah, okay. Don't look at me like that. Yeah, barnacles. We've got a lot of barnacles on the church, and you've got to scrape them off. And that's what Armadoxy is about. It's like scraping off the barnacles and seeing the beautiful church that's underneath it. And once you realize you see that beautiful church, you realize that it has a function. It's like the ship on which the barnacles are on. You take it away and you realize that that ship, as beautiful as it is, it has a function. It's to take you from point A to point B. And the church, in its place, has to take each and every one of us from point A to B. And for some, it will be from this life to eternal life. Yes, that's definitely one of the functions of the church, but not the only function of the church. Yesterday, this is brand new news, okay? My little nephew, Vartan, has asked his father, my brother, a question, okay? And my brother, of course, gives it to me and says, look what he's asking. And, you know, there's an excitement in it, too, but it's a very profound question. It's a stumbling question, too. And then you, as the uncle, or as I'm affectionately called by him, Hopar, I get to answer this question. And, you know, you take a moment and you look at it and you say, wow, what is really the answer to this? And think about it in this sense, that it is given by a child, but in many ways it is the question that is asked by so many people at all levels, in different ways. And his question was simple. Daddy, do you need to die to go to heaven? Wow. Do you need to die to go to heaven? As a little four-year-old thinking about it, okay? Thinking about the ideas of heaven. And certainly these are ideas that come to him partially because of the life circumstances that are all around you. You've got, you know, even as a kid, your little pet dies and parents say, oh, went up to doggy heaven. Little fish heaven, you know? There was a Twilight Zone many years ago, and the guy was on the way to heaven, and he got to the door, and St. Peter told him that, no, you can't be here because your dog's not here. And he figured out that, you know, if his dog wasn't there, what kind of heaven could that be? Yeah, interesting ideas. Get your mind to start thinking. And certainly my little four-year-old nephew was asking a very profound question, which I think we've asked at many levels. What is that idea of heaven? And if the church is really our connection between this life and heaven, why are we prolonging the experience? Why not just wipe out all of humanity and let everybody just go to heaven? Obviously, it's something a little bit more than that. Let's take a look at it in a very mature way. Yes, the faith of a child is one thing, but a mature outlook is what's really necessary to understand your place within the cosmos. And if you think about that, the church is that bridge between this life and the kingdom of God. Think in terms of what Jesus spoke about. He says the kingdom of God has been enacted. It's right now. It's meant for you and me. The rich and the poor are invited. The man and the woman are invited. We are all part of it. There is neither Jew nor Greek, says St. Paul. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor freeman. In other words, it doesn't matter your social status, your social class. It doesn't matter your gender, your sexual preferences. Yes. It doesn't matter. You are all eligible for the kingdom. And that kingdom is not something to come, but the kingdom has arrived in the presence of Jesus Christ. Remember, St. John the Baptist says, prepare the way of the Lord. Remember, Jesus shows up on the scene. And what is his first message? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. It's right now. It's been enacted. You have that opportunity to be at one with God. And then go back to your Buddhist traditions that we talked about a few minutes ago about losing the self. Well, what was the whole case of losing the self? It's to realize that you can attain, you can reach that nirvanic state. You can see the kingdom of God right now in your lives. And those of you who have practiced Armadoxy know that you can find it. You say, what? Heaven, right now? We found heaven? Yeah, you did. You did. It goes back to the Les Miserables song. Finding the face of God by loving people, caring for people. I told you, every year we do this toy drive, and we did it once again this year. It's called the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive. We did it just a couple weeks ago. We collected over 550 toys. We delivered them to kids in shelters. Now, who are these kids? These are kids who were picked up by the government because they were in domestic violence situation. Their parents were at it. Some of them have been killed. Some of them have been hurt. Some of them are in jail. And so these kids are in shelters, in foster homes, wherever they can be. And these people are not the people that you would see, the nice looking kids that you would see the getting up and coming to the Christmas parties given by the bishops and the priests and the little ladies societies. In fact, these are the forgotten children. And several years ago here in our community in Glendale, a young girl actually literally across the street from our church in Glendale, she was murdered in a domestic violence situation. And the parents, who are just delightful, beautiful people, have lent her name and actually do all the physical work for this toy drive, Yvette Hagopian. And we raise these toys and we take them over to these children who wouldn't have a Christmas if it were not for this toy drive. And on top of it, the majority, if not most of all of the toys, come from the local Armenian community. And of course, many of you listeners, wherever you may be, this year, last 2 years, we've been able to use the incredible power of Amazon. So I know some of you listeners have been sending in those toys as well. And I want you to think about it. The Armenians were the people who really life had forgotten. The Armenians were the people who were the victims of the ultimate domestic violence. Namely, being thrown out of their own homes. Namely, thrown out of their own country. Namely, the victims of genocide. And these Armenians are now taking care of the next generation. The kingdom of God on earth, right now, it has been enacted. Because in the lives of these children that we're seeing God's presence. We're seeing the love that God has for us. When God says that I am going to take on human form, why is that? Why is that? What is the whole purpose of theophany? Asvazahaidnutun, of Christmas, of nativity. Is God taking on human form? Why? So that we can be reconciled. We can understand that in God we have to find humanity. Within humanity, we have to find God. And that's why the Armenian formula, the Christology for Armenian Orthodoxy, is so sound. Yes, you know, you go through these different councils. The early three councils had formulated that Jesus was one. Perfect God, perfect man. Then they started messing with it. They went to a council of Chalcedon. Then they started messing further. And then, you know, you had the big division back in the 10th, 11th century between Orthodoxy and Catholicism. Roman Church, let's call it. The Armenian Church stuck to its guns, said, hey, wait, we formulated this. We know what Christ is. Perfect God, perfect man. And in each of our brothers and sisters, we need to find the presence of Christ. We need to find the kingdom of God. We need to find heaven here on earth. Because what happens in the life after is God's dominion. It's not our business. What we really are in charge with is this life here in this world. And throughout the scriptures, throughout the teachings of the church fathers, this life is very real. It's not about a life to come. It's about this life, about perfecting this life. And so we go back to that Christmas little message that we had this Christmas, profoundly stated that it is in loving others that we see the face of God. And certainly, that's what it's about. Giving, sacrificing, giving ourselves, and finding heaven right now. Dying, yes, not a physical death, but dying right now. In John chapter 12, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed, but by dying it produces its harvest. You think of it as an ordinary lesson in gardening. Sure, okay. But it's more profound than that, isn't it? It's about each and every one of us dying, giving up ourselves, sacrificing ourselves for the greater good. And that good is all around us. It's the heaven that exists right now, the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, I told you today I would speak about the year gone by. And when you look at all the things that have happened, that have transpired, personally, as a priest in the church, it has been a trying year. It has been difficult years. Along with my health issues, I've had to deal with a church here in the Los Angeles, in the Glendale area. I also took on the challenges of walking the Avon Walk. What did we do? 39 miles in a couple days. We took on some incredible challenges that were impossible to do alone. But we did together as a collective, as a church, as the body of Christ. We looked at one another, extending our hands to one another and finding the love of God in each other. And that's where we're at. I hope this makes sense. And if it doesn't, well, you'll kind of figure it out as we go along. Here's Susie to tell you how we figure it out. And then when we get back, I'm gonna leave you with some parting shots, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
A lot of cool stuff happening here at Epostle, and I want you to get involved as much as you can. We are on the net at epostle.net, and as Susie said, there's all kinds of buttons you can press. Mostly listen in on what's happening, all the different shows, and we're just very proud of this dynamic ministry that's really touching lives in so many ways. I appreciate very much all the email and all the support and all the nice reflections that you send to me. Hey, listen, you know, we've been doing this Sun Sash. It's a one-liner that comes out every day. It's actually a one thought for the day. Do subscribe to that. It's a freebie. Just go to sunsash.blogspot.com. Put in your email and you'll get it every day. But what we did is on Christmas, we looked at the solstice leading up to Christmas. We did 3 days of solstice programming on Sunsash. And now we're in the days of Christmas. Did you know between December 25th and January 6th, there are 12 days, and hence the 12 days of Christmas? Yes, the lords are leaping, the milks are mating, and all that kind of stuff. That has to do with this period that we're in right now. Okay, so today would be the third day of Christmas. Three French hens, if anyone's counting, and if anyone wants the gift for today. Three French hens for today. But do go on Sunsash. You will get a very special blessing as we count down through the days of Christmas. And that's also available on all of our programming. Listen, I did tell you that there was some stuff out I was going to share with you. But you know what? We're at the end of the year. Actually, let's get it done with, okay? And I've got to end it with this. It's not pleasant. But it kind of sets the pace. Just like what we were saying. You've got to look at the past and you've got to say, this is the direction I'm going into. And this is something that will not make sense to too many of our listeners. But there was a small group of listeners that will make sense to. This was about a couple weeks ago when I spoke about self-determination. And one of the leaders of the Armenian church back in this 19th century, his name was Mgrdich Kharimyan. He was a Catholicos of the Armenian church. He was so loved by the people that they nicknamed him Kharimyan Hayrig. Hayrig is an enduring term meaning father. But it's very endearing. It means, you know, somebody more than just a biological father, but somebody that you care for and he cares about you. Heidig. And I spoke about him in one of my sermons, and the following day I got an email from one of the followers who was picking it up on our broadcasts, and she said, who was this clergyman that you spoke about? I want to learn more about him. And rather than just give her a blanket, you know, a name, I actually did a Google search and thought, you know, I'd send her some links. And when I did it, what was I to find but Kharimyan Hayrig and the reflection of faces that were so far from what Kharimyan Hayrig was all about or who Kharimyan Hayrig was. I want to share that with you. Coming up, I'm going to do a special show on that because it's very disheartening and I don't want to take too much of your time. I know we have a different audience, but it is just something that has just affected me tremendously. I realize the work ahead of us is tremendous. The work ahead of us. When you look at a Kharimyan Hayrig, and you realize how endearing it is, and you see the images of one bishop came up, who we've spoken about last year, who took away a priest of the Armenian church, who defrocked him, who was filled with lies, and you see what's going on out there. It's got to bother you that this name of this sainted person, Kharimyan Hayrig, is associated with these people. Now, got a few minutes and I'm not going to clutter it here, but I did have to get that out before the end of the year. Listen, we are at the end of the year. We are at the end of today's show. I want to invite you to get involved with us throughout the week until we get back. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Theophany. I'm going to have a special message for the Theophany period. You know that we are in a period of Advent right now. Leading up to that, we're going to be talking about how God's revelation affects each and every one of us today, not just at a point in history, but today. And that's what this is all about. That's what this ministry is all about. It's about taking Armenian Orthodoxy and polishing it up for today. Because guess what? Armenian Orthodoxy is needed today. We call that polished look, Armadoxy. Hey, as we end this year, I want to take this opportunity to thank all the people who make this ministry such a success. First and foremost, all of you, our listeners, all of you, our contributors, all of you who are out there praying for us and contributing to this ministry. I want to give my heartfelt thanks to our producer, Susie, who really puts together a great show and produces this and makes sure it's in your mailbox and out there on the web. I want to thank our webman, Vahe, who does so much work in silence but working with the web people, and I hope that this year will be the year, this coming year will be the year that we are able to unveil our new epostle.net site. I take this opportunity to thank Linda, who does our Compass broadcasts. Want to see those coming out a little bit more? We all do, I know that, but it's just been such a pleasure working on that specific project. I want to thank Anush, who does her pomegranate seeds, and she should be back next week. I told you last week, she's out there in cold Chicago enjoying a new granddaughter that came her way as a Christmas gift. I want to thank Ani with her bubbles. She got through half of the year with bubbles this year, but she's been such an integral part of this ministry. Have to do a big shout out to her and wish her the best as she's starting her new life with Eric. And while on the subject of new life, a big shout out to our dear friend Armand, making sure that we were up and running despite broken microphones and all else. Thanks so much, and wishing you the best in the coming year. Of course, I want to thank all of the prayer partners who make this a possibility, especially for the wonderful team that we have at St. Peter Armenian Church, for Azad, our parish council chairman, and you know, this, I've got a blessing in parish council in that they've never second-guessed the importance of this outreach, this electronic ministry called Epostle. And if you're ever in Glendale, please do stop by the St. Peter Armenian Church on the corner with a worldwide mission. I want to thank Maria for a dear friend throughout the years who's been doing the work for this ministry, a lot of background work in the finances and everything. And of course, my very dear wife and prayer partner, whose prayers reach to heaven in a different way and keep this ministry at a priority where it should be in our lives. Finally, this music, hey, if you've been enjoying it, this is Creation of Varujan, one of my sons, who's out there in Arizona, for Sevan and Christopher, who kind of give the inspiration for all the rest of the stuff that goes on. I want to thank everybody and wish you a very beautiful 2013 coming up in a few days. Hey, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, you're always welcome here, Ken. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the new year next step.
I trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out!